You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. This is a reading of a collection of notes of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled Founding a Science of the Spirit. Collected Works, Volume 95, Revised Translation by Matthew Barton. Formerly known as At the Gates of Spiritual Science. This is an addendum. I'm going to call it Lecture 15, but it's really answers to audience questions, two sets of them, and they are recorded in note form. The first set is from Stuttgart on the 2nd of September, 1906. Question about the work of the ego. Steiner. Work can be done on the astral body, on the etheric body, on the physical body. Every human being works on his astral body. All moral education is work on the astral body. Even when a person enters on the process of initiation, on occult schooling, he still has much work to do on his astral body. Initiation leads to stronger work on the etheric body through the cultivation of aesthetic pleasure and of religion. The initiate works consciously on his etheric body. Astral consciousness is four-dimensional in a certain respect. In order to form an approximate idea of this, the following may be said. Anything that is dead has the tendency to remain in three dimensions. Anything living extends all the time beyond the third dimension. Anything that grows has, through its movement, the fourth dimension within its three dimensions. If something moves in a circle, and if the circle it traces goes on increasing in size, we come at last to a straight line. But the straight line will not return to its starting point, because our world is three-dimensional. In astral space, a line does return, because astral space is closed on all sides. It is quite impossible, there, to go straight on forever. Physical space is open to the fourth dimension. Height and breadth are two dimensions. The third dimension leads out into the fourth. In astral space, a different geometry prevails. Question. Why are theosophists still so inadequate? Steiner. One should not allow a personal element to enter into one's judgments. An objective assessment of things should be the aim. Question. About conditions in Devakan. Steiner. Pain and grief are external in Devakan. You do not experience your own pains there. Pain is something you look at. You see it as thunder, as lightning, as color. That is blessedness. You are looking at pictures of happenings caused by others here below. A peaceful condition in Devakan depends on the lives of people between birth and death. Harmony here on earth brings about peace in Devakan. A person lives continuously in the three worlds. Rest in peace is not quite correct. Question. Is there any value in reading masses for the dead? Steiner. Good thoughts are balm for the dead. It is not selfish love that we should send them, not mourning because we no longer have them here. This harms a dead person and weighs on him like lead. But love that endures, which does not lay claim to the dead person by wanting him back again, this nourishes him and augments his happiness. Question. Remorse? Steiner. Remorse has no value. But we must make good the harm we have done. This shortens the Kamaloka period. Question. On communion with loved ones in Kamaloka. Steiner. This is clearer, more definite in Devakan, for in Kamaloka consciousness is clouded by the paying off of debts incurred through personal guilt. Question. Lotus flowers? Steiner. The lotus flowers are inner movements within the inner human being. Question. If one is out of harmony with one's parents, what is the reason for it? Steiner. To be out of harmony with one's parents is generally something determined by karma. Question. What does the astral body look like? Steiner. When the astral body is together with the physical body, it is somewhat egg-like in shape. After death, it is a wonderfully radiant, mobile formation. In accordance with individual characteristics, it has various colors, radiant colors. Its three gleaming points are at first widely separated, joined together but open below. They are centers of force. They draw progressively together, and then they look like a small triangle. Number one, heart, number two, liver, number three, brain, and there's pictures below these. These three points work together at the time of a new incarnation. In Devakan, they are radiant centers of force, which stream out from the three points. In the astral world, these three points form a triangle. In Devakan, they form a six-pointed figure, two interlaced triangles, reader's aside, which looks like the Star of David, end of reader's aside. They are bells. Question. A question was asked about the permanent atom, often spoken of in theosophical circles at that time. Steiner. Atoms are a speculation. Hence we avoid speaking about them, for they are only an assumption. One should not think about things which are not facts. Human beings should only look and observe. Question. Can one look into the future? Steiner. This is possible, but the occultist refrains from doing so, because very few, apart from high initiates, can cope with knowing the future. The initiate's prevision does not determine what another person does. The latter will act in the future entirely out of his free will. Question. On family connections. Steiner. Families with a strong family tradition are subject to a quite definite law, whereby the family karma is worked out. The ancestor upholds the family until he can build a new body for his own next incarnation. The continuity and cohesion of the family depends on the blood. Question. On art. Steiner. Art is the revelation of hidden laws of nature. Goethe says, quote, "The beautiful is a manifestation of hidden laws of nature, which would otherwise remain forever concealed." Close quote. Nature can realize her intentions only up to a certain stage. Man can bring them to expression, but the artist has to leave out the blood and life. Question. On group souls. Steiner. At a later, much later time, the group souls will embark on the same experiences that humanity undergoes today. They will eventually build individual bodies for themselves. They will become single individuals, each with an individual soul. Animals will never develop into people, but human beings of a kind quite different, certainly from ourselves, will develop out of the group souls. The human stages, the Saturn stage, the Sun stage, the Moon stage, the Earth stage, and so on, can be gone through in the most varied ways. Question. What is your attitude to the Lord's Prayer? Steiner. The primal Christian prayer is, "Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." One should not pray egotistically. Prayer should be a raising up of oneself into the spiritual world, a source of strength and invigoration. Question. On marriage. Steiner. Marriage is a duality. In the world today, there is a prevailing tendency to lead everything back quite wrongly to the sexual. A great antithesis plays into the realm of marriage. The husband has a female etheric body and the wife a male etheric body. The spirit and soul in the man is more feminine, and vice versa. The human soul strives toward the highest. Hence the man will equate the highest with the womanly, because his soul is feminine. The external part, the body, is only an outer symbol, only a metaphor. Quote, "All things transient are but a likeness," close quote. Quote, "The eternal feminine draws us to the heights," close quote, both from Goethe. Question. On the ego body. Steiner. The ego body appears to the clairvoyant as a blue hollow sphere between the eyes, behind the forehead. When a person begins to work on it, rays stream out from this point. Question. On the nature of comets. Steiner. A comet is an assemblage of kama, desire substance, without the corresponding spiritual substance. The comet gets as far only as the astral body. The visibility of comets arises from the powerful friction caused by the astral body passing through etheric substance. Question: how does gold arise? Steiner: we have first the four ethers. Fire, fire ether, air, light ether, water, chemical ether, earth, life ether. No life can arise without life ether, which fills out the bodies. Each ether can be cooled so that it becomes solid. In earlier times, gold flowed in clefts, and earlier still it was gaseous. It was fire ether, light ether. The rays which come to us from the sun were formerly etheric substance. All the gold was once sun ether, light ether. Gold is densified sun ether, densified sunlight. Silver is densified moonlight. Question: which beings inhabit the moon? Steiner: the moon is inhabited by those physical beings who have remained behind at an earlier stage of evolution, luciferic beings. On the old moon there were beings who had fallen so far into evil that they could not take part in further evolution. They established themselves on the moon. These malevolent beings are evident especially in the waning moon. When the moon is waxing, they are less harmful. Some dreadful beings inhabit the moon, but there are also favorable beings, actively concerned with growth and birth. Question: on the Book of Revelation. Steiner: the book with seven seals in the Revelation of John is in the first place written by man himself. His evolution and involution are inscribed there. The first writing in it applies to the seven sub-races. Each sub-race writes and seals a page of it. When the next sub-race emerges, the page is unsealed. Question: on the difference between cremation and burial. Steiner: the difference exists chiefly for the etheric body. Cremation allows the physical body to dissolve into cosmic space. Decaying, verwesen, means a return to one's being, wesen. Question: on the life of Jesus. Steiner: the life of Jesus is at the same time a fact and a symbol. Proof of his life can be given only by spiritual science. You will not find any historical proofs, for the Christ was not known as a high initiate to the writers of those days. Question: on the inner word. Steiner: the inner word reveals itself after a person has already attained astral sight. Then he enters into the Devakan condition. Then he hears the world secrets sounding in himself. And then he hears the name that belongs to each thing. Later, his own name will be spoken to the initiate, and to meditate on it is especially effective. That, then, is the inner word. The initiate is thereby awakened, and this inner word is a sure guide for his later development. This is now a reading of the next section, Answers to Audience Questions, recorded in note form. This is 2 days earlier, on the 4th of September, 1906, in Stuttgart. Steiner: in earlier times, man's etheric body was still outside his physical body, and so also, of course, was his ego consciousness. His soul worked on the physical body from outside, as is still the case today, with the horse. Question: how did the names of the zodiacal constellations originate? Steiner: the whole animal kingdom was once within man. This means that he was at a stage between the human realm and the animal kingdom of today. In order to be able to develop further, he had to separate off from himself those parts which could not go with him. He separated the parts which form the animal kingdom of today. Originally, therefore, the animals were much less sharply differentiated from man than they now are. They gradually degenerated. The separating off of the animal kingdom did not occur suddenly, but by slow degrees. First the fishes were separated, then the reptiles and amphibians, then the birds and the mammals. And within each group the separating off was again gradual. Thus the beasts of prey, for example, were separated earlier than the apes. When the lions were separated off, the constellation in which the sun then stood was called Lion. And when man cast out the bull nature from himself, the relevant constellation was called Bull. The names of the four apocalyptic creatures in the Revelation of John, eagle, lion, bull, man, point in the same direction. But this does not completely explain the names of all the zodiacal constellations. The moon, in earlier times, before the earth separated from it, consisted of soft plant substance, like living peat or spinach, penetrated by a woody structure which has today hardened into rock. In this soft substance lived the moon plants, actually plant animals, halfway between the plants and the animals of the present time. Then the earth separated itself off, bringing into being the four kingdoms of nature, minerals, plants, animals, and human beings. Some of the plant animals failed to transform themselves completely into present-day plants. The sponges arose in this way. Question. Quote, "Before the voice can speak in the presence of the masters, it must have lost the power to wound," close quote. Bracket from Light on the Path by Mabel Collins, Steiner. When we send forth a loving thought, it creates a wonderfully beautiful thought form, like a flower, which gently opens and then surrounds the person to whom the thought applies. Anyone who thinks a thought full of hate creates a sharp, pointed, angular form, closed at its apex, designed to wound. What is here called the Masters is the divine voice which speaks in us. It speaks constantly, but we do not always allow it to emerge. The thought form of love is open, hence the voice of the Masters can sound through it. But the closed thought form of hate leaves the divine thought form no way out, so that it has to remain unheard. Question. In the astral, a lie is a murder. Steiner. Suppose I think the following thought. I met someone. A quite definite thought form will be engendered by that. Now to someone else I say it again. I met someone. The same thought form is again engendered. The two thought forms meet and strengthen each other. But if I tell a lie and say I did not meet anyone, this engenders a thought form opposed to the first. The result is an explosion in the astral body of the liar. Question. How can one protect one's astral body against bad influences? Steiner. The best way is to be sure and true oneself. As a special protection, you can create through forcible concentration of the will an astral sheath, a blue egg-shaped mist. You must say to yourself firmly and emphatically, quote, "Let all my good qualities surround me like a coat of armor." Close quote. Question. Why did the first Christians have the fish as their symbol, besides the lamb? Steiner. Among the fishes, especially Amphioxus, the spinal marrow began to take form. Man was once at the stage when he had the fish nature still within himself. He was wholly a soul being and worked on his body from outside. Then he separated the fishes from himself. Later on, the brain was formed out of the spinal marrow. Footnote. Goethe already knew this. Dr. Steiner found the relevant pencil sketch drawn in a notebook while he was working in the Goethe archives in Weimar. End of footnote, and there is a diagram. In this way, man becomes a self. But the self is ennobled by Christianity, and hence the fish is the symbol for the early Christians. The story of Jonah indicates the same thing. Jonah, man, is at first outside the fishes. This means the soul working on the body from the outside. Then he becomes a self and enters into the fish, the physical body. Through initiation, the physical body is again left aside. Question. Can physical objects be seen after death? Steiner. After death, we see nothing physical, but the corresponding astral images, astral and devaconic counterparts. The mineral realm is absent. It appears as an empty space, like a photographic negative. In Devacon, one can, for example, see a clock, for a human design and purpose enters into it. All human artifacts can be seen there. There's a little chart. Atma, transformed physical body. Buddhi, transformed etheric body. Manas. Then Kama Manas, which is the ego. Kama, astral body, prana, etheric body, and then the physical body. The universal flow of life is called prana. It flows like water. But if it is given form by being poured into the physical body, rather as water is poured into a jug, then one speaks of the etheric body. The general astral substance, desire substance, is called kama. If it is given the form of a body, one speaks of the astral body. The ego is the center of the person. Kama plays into it, and manas also. Thus the ego comprises a mixture of kama and manas. The kama has to be completely transformed and ennobled, so that manas may develop from it. If the etheric body is ennobled, buddhi emerges, and atma arises from the ennoblement of the physical body. There's another chart. Arupa, the mental plane, number 7, causal body, number 6, causal body, number 5, causal body, then the Akasha chronicle. Next section is called Rupa, number 4, etheric sphere, number 3, airy sphere, number 2, oceanic sphere, like the blood in a human body, number 1, continental realm. The continental realm embraces everything physical, the oceanic realm, everything living, the airy sphere, the whole range of feelings, and the etheric sphere, all thoughts. At the boundary of the etheric sphere is the Akasha chronicle. It contains everything that has ever been thought. On the far side of the Akasha chronicle lies everything that has not yet become thought. All new thoughts, all discoveries, and so on, come from the Arupa region. Anyone who has developed kama manas comes after death as far as the etheric sphere to thoughts that exist independently. The ego shapes the astral body so that manas develops out of it. All manas which has not yet been drawn into the astral is arupa. Question. Denial and affirmation of life. Steiner. Schopenhauer says that the world has been built by irrational will. Reason, therefore, has to destroy the irrational will so that the world goes to ruin and man is redeemed. Schelling, Hegel, and Fichte represent a different standpoint which can be expressed in the words, quote, from God to God, close quote. Let us consider the denial and affirmation of life through a parable. I show someone a piece of magnetized iron, and I tell him that in the iron resides an invisible force called magnetism. He replies, quote, I want to know nothing about this force. I only affirm the iron, close quote. It is much the same if someone looking only at the things of the world says that he affirms the world. Certainly he affirms the world, but he denies the invisible forces within it. Life is truly affirmed only by someone who seeks for spiritual realities. Anyone else denies half of life. Many theosophists say, I don't bother about the world. I am concerned only to develop my higher self. In fact, they are seeking only the lower man. The higher man is everywhere outside us. If I feel the whole world in myself, then I have found my higher self. Myself is outside me. Knowledge of the world is self-knowledge. Question, how does suggestion work? Steiner. Suggestion works on the ego. The higher bodies are drawn out of the physical body, and then the ego body without the physical brain unconsciously follows the hypnotizer. The physical brain, the controller of actions, is detached. With an initiate, it is different. He retains conscious control without the aid of the physical brain, and so he cannot be hypnotized. Question, the Pistis Sophia. Steiner, this book, written in the Coptic language, contains much of the discourses of Christ at the initiation of his disciples and many inner expositions of parables. The 13th chapter is especially important. The Haimarmene is Devakan. The entire supersensible world is divided into 12 eons. These are the 7 divisions of the astral plane and the 5 lowest divisions of Devakan. Erring spirits can be purified through Devakan. The light-bearing purifier before Christ was Melchizedek. is meant when we read of light coming from the episkopos. By archontes, the powers of evil are to be understood. Readers aside, archontes is spelled A-R-C-H-O-N-T-E-S, end of readers aside. Conflict and arguing are not a realm for theosophy. We should not squander time uselessly on disputes, but should speak only to those who have the heart and mind for theosophy. Question: why does Christ say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," when previous great founders of religion had already pointed to the way? Steiner: we must first transpose ourselves into past ways of speaking. In former times, the spiritual content of speech was perceived at the same time as the words were heard. Then we can reflect on the following. Christ was the embodiment of the second person of God. No previous founder of a religion had embodied himself in the... No previous founder of a religion had embodied in himself the fullness of the Logos. But the divine element that his predecessors had embodied was a part of the Logos, and so of Christ himself. Therefore Christ embraces everything previous to him in the words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." One can also take these words literally in yet another sense. The previous founders of religions had shown the way and taught the truth, but they did not live out the mystery of God in the sight of humanity. Hence they could say, "I am the way and the truth," but the Christ alone could say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now Elias means way, and Moses, truth. At the transfiguration, Elias and Moses appeared with Christ. Hence the transfiguration says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The passing of Buddha into Nirvana, his death, is the same as the transfiguration of Christ. At the moment when Buddha brought his working to an end, the real working of Christ, his life, begins. That is the end of the notes, the end of the book, Founding a Science of the Spirit, by Rudolf Steiner.